We're back in session at 7:43. Motion was made by Dave. Second by Adam Jones. Executive session. Okay, any more questions about NC 18-101? Hearing none, roll call, please.
David Hill.
Yes.
Adam Jones.
Yes.
Pete Beaver.
Yes.
Travis Scott.
Yes.
Chairman got 4 in favor and none against.
Yeah, 4 in favor and none against. That's been approved. Next on the agenda is the referred legislation. We have a funding source for all the referred legislation. Or I guess there's 3 of them. On all 3? Okay, here, motion to approve the funding source for those. Here, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Has been approved. Down to other businesses, the gaming board. On the 1801, the for the AG's office?
Yes. It's
for EMS, I'd like to be added as a co-sponsor for NCA 18-095 and 096.
Okay, any objection? Hearing none, that's fine. Good evening. Sorry guys, I forgot something. You guys, sit down. Under other business, there are 2 items that I would need to put on the agenda for consideration tonight. This one's TR 18-81, a tropical resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the Gaming Operations Authority Board to execute the music performance agreement between Broadcast Music BMI and TR 18-082. A tribal resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation confirming the nomination of Tracy Rebus to serve on the Public Gaming Commission. Is there a motion to put on the agenda?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Adam Jones.
Yes.
Pete Beaver.
Yes.
Travis Scott.
Yes.
David Hill.
Yes.
Chairman got 4 in favor, none against.
First one is I'm relinquishing the chair to vice chair.
TR 18081, a tribal resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the Gaming Authority Board to execute the music performance agreement with Broadcast Music Inc. PMI.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Motion to adopt by Robert Huff. Second by David Hill. Discussion.
Speaker, Chair Rector, Dion.
Dion.
Thank you. This contract is for BMI. What they do is they manage the copyrights for music for artists. Anytime that you hear songs playing in a casino, they have to be licensed and copyrighted, and we have to have an agreement with some entity. There's really only 3 entities that we can use, and because they have the whole market, their contracts are basically boilerplate language, and they're automatically yearly renewals. And so through the code, we can't do that. So we have to have your approval to have them automatically renewed. There's not a lot of risk or any type of risk for litigation because we have to have someone that can license that music so that we can play it in our casinos.
Any other discussion?
To help fund the songwriters. It's kind of like the mob. Shouldn't say
that.
Robert Huff?
Yes.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Travis Scott?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
And we got 4 in favor, none against.
Okay, 4 in favor, none against. TR 18-082, a tribal resolution. Resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation's firming a nomination to Trey DeRubis to serve on and the Public Gaming Commission. Sponsors Robert Huff.
Motion to adopt.
Motion to adopt, Robert Huff.
Second.
Second, David Hill. Discussion.
This was our, since we have the Gaming Commission, we have to have three members, and this is our nomination to sit on the OPG's office, Gaming Commission. So, Tracy, if she'll be here, can she be here, Okay. So, we'll, like I said, after we have a plan for questions and so forth.
Any other stuff? I want to be
co-sponsor Adam Jones. David Hilton.
Roll call vote.
Robert Huff?
Yes.
Pete Beaver?
Yes.
Travis Scott?
Yes.
David Hill?
Yes.
Chairman, you got 4 in favor, none against.
4 in favor, none against. That motion passes. Chair back to Robert Huff.
Okay. GOAB, sorry about that.
We can do it all in open session. We can do it all in open session.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, National Council members. I'm going to defer to Pat for the financials for May of 2018. Thank you, and good evening. It's always a pleasure to be here when we have good news. And we did have another good month for the month of May. One of the highlights of the month of May is we did take over the travel clauses May 1st. And I'm very happy to report that we actually made a small profit, which is a lot different than has been happening in the past there. So we feel pretty good about that after 30 days cleaning them up and operating them. For the month, on a consolidated basis, our revenues were $31 million, and that was an increase of $2.4 million over last year. $1.1 million of that was revenue from the travel clauses. We sell a lot of fuel, but there's not a huge margin on it. Our operating income for the month was $12.6 million, which was about $550,000 over last year. And that's, we've talked to you in the past, is we did assume the surveillance department, and that's about $350,000 a month in additional expenses that's on our books now and not the nation. Despite that, our operating income's up $550,000 for the month, so that we felt that was a pretty good accomplishment also. Our distribution for the month was $7.8 million, and that was up by $150,000 over last year. And here again, we take into account the surveillance and travel clauses and everything, we feel it's a fairly successful month. Versus our budget, our revenues were about three quarters of $1 million over budget. Our operating income was $400,000 over budget, and our distributions was $166,000 over budget for the month. Year-to-date, our operating revenues have been about $240 million, which is about $15.9 million above last year. Most of that, over $12 million of that, was at River Spirit due to the expansion. The first 3 months of this fiscal year, we had a hotel and showroom and everything that we didn't have in the prior year. So that's the major driver of our revenue increase. Our operating income for the eight-month period, year-to-date, it's been $104.6 million, which is above prior year by $8.8 million. Here again, River Spirit was the big driver on that. Our distributions year-to-date for the first 8 months have been $69.1 million. That's $3 million above last year. Last year did include a special distribution of $2 million for land acquisition. And we've also taken on about $1.4 million in the observation surveillance expenses. So really, we're up about $6 million over last year, on an apples to apples basis. Versus budget, our revenues are over budget by $638,000. Our operating income is over budget by $4.1 million. And our distributions are over budget by $4.3 million for the first 8 months of the year. We mention this all the time, we are still saving over $1 million a month on commissions from buying gaming equipment. We don't own a lot of our gaming equipment, but we are saving significant commissions on the ones that we do own. Our cumulative savings have been $135.5 million from purchasing equipment. At the end of the month, we operated approximately 5,900 gaming devices. 4,300 of them were leased, which is about 72%. 1,600 were owned, about 28%. 3,400 is class 3, which is about 58%. And 2,500 are class 2, which is 42%. Native American employment, out of our total workforce, Native American was 46% as of the end of the month. And Muskogee Creek citizens were 28% of our total employment for the month. Our Native American employment over the prior year increased by 16% from 861 to 1,002. And our Creek Nation citizen employment increased by 15% over last year from 519 to 598 employees as of the month end. The next page in the packet is the breakdown by property of revenues, operating income, net income, and distribution. We had pretty good gains in most of the properties. I'm sure you're aware, Duck Creek, we did a remodel and expansion there a couple of months ago. Since we did that, it's been, this month our distribution was up about $350,000 at that property, as it was about the same last month too. It's been very, very successful. Expansion and renovation there. But as I mentioned, our total distribution is about $7.8 million versus $7.6 a year ago. The third page in your packet is, this is a consolidated of all properties, breaking out the Native American employment between Creek, other Native, and total Native Americans. As I mentioned, 46% of our total workforce is Native American, 28% is Creek. And then the following page is a breakdown by property, by casino, breaking down Creek, other tribal, non-Native, and then the Creek percent and the total Native American percent in the last two columns. The next page in the packet, this is for the River Spirit Casino only, but it's a recap of the total number of employees, the number of applications received for the month, and the number of new hires. For the month, we took in over 845 applications, 28 of which were Creek citizens, which is 3% of all the applications. But out of our new hires, 13% of our new hires came from Creek citizens, so we do capture all we can. And I mentioned before that Creek citizens, if they come in, we do practice preference. And all of them that come in, if we don't have a job available that they're applying for, we do refer them to other departments and place them as much as we can. The next page is just a summary of the Creek citizens that have come through. This, again, is just River Spirit. Talks about when they applied, what they applied for, what the status is. And in the last two columns are once they've been accepted, how quickly they go through the licensing process. The next three pages in the packet is a census by position of Creek citizens that are in all of our management and supervisory positions. It breaks it down by department and by position. And as of the month end, there were 161 Creeks in supervisory and management positions. And then the last page in the packet is our upcoming event schedule at the Paradise Cove. When you get a minute to look through it, we do have some really good acts coming up. We actually have Darius Rucker tomorrow night. Coming up, we have, if you like Boy George, we have Culture Club and the B-52s. One of the ones that was just recently announced was Vince Gill. Vince Gill will be here on the 16th of August. Any of you that were fortunate enough to see the Eagles Sunday night, Vince Gill is now pretty much the lead vocalist for the Eagles, and he really did a great job. And that'll be a big sellout at our property. I think we're fairly lucky we got him. We have on the bottom part of the page is some that haven't been announced yet, but as you can see, there's some pretty good acts coming there too. Answer any questions?
Any questions? David? Adam? Pete? Travis?
Yes, sir.
Questions? Thank you, guys.
Thank you. What about that?
We're getting an updated feasibility study that's going on right now. And I think we just need to all sit down and talk about what the expectations are and what works there. But we did the last feasibility study we did was, what, 2 years ago, going with the land and trust application, so we felt like it needed to be updated.
Excuse me. Thank you, guys. Gary? Gary is, you know, the acting interim CEO for One Fire, and he asked to come tonight just to show us the new format. No, in terms of update on information that we'll get it next month, but he wants to show us the format that we want to be acceptable to, how he wants to report to us, so he wants to show it to us tonight. That's why he's here on.
Rather than just spring a new format on you without any input or feedback, we wanted to show you, a more simplified, more transparent version of our investment review that will communicate, I think, the necessary information without drowning the important stuff in a lot of numbers that might or might not be important at the moment. Now we'll walk through the look here, but as you can see, it prioritizes the information that
Gary, did you want to chief?
Sure.
Probably get one of the children. Take a children.
See on the front page, this is completely sample information. It's completely for demonstration purposes. It's not meant to represent any current or potential investments for One Fire. But what it does do is, I think, it illustrates the basic categories for investment that One Fire targets, and also shows you how we hope to discuss them in the future. Now, if you see anything you have questions on or you have feedback about, please feel free to let me know. But we'll start here on the first page with the red logo. Now, the first thing I want to direct your attention to is we'll make sure that we have the company logo there at all times. So you see its identifying information. We'll have logo, the official name or internal code name as needed. If we find there's an investment where we want to we sort of want to protect its identity when we're discussing in a broader context, because a lot of the information, even information like the amount we invested and how much we got for, you know, how much of a stake we got for that amount, can be, how do I put this, that's the sort of information that gets guarded very carefully, and certain companies will want us to make sure that we use an internal code name when we discuss their performance. So, again, a formal name or internal code name, industry, including NAICS code in case of a federal contractor, so we know exactly what sort of space we're playing in. The investment structure. Now, one of the things that we have heard time and again is we need to break out exactly how we're invested in there. Is this debt? Is this, you know, is this equity? Do we buy a partnership stake? So we'll make sure that's laid out right there in black and white. And when we do own equity, we will tell you exactly how much of that company we own, down to the percentage point. We'll also have the date that the investment was effective, so that we know how long we've been in there, and that will also help us. That'll also help us keep track of sort of the timeline of the work we've been doing there. Sometimes a company will tell you that a turnaround is 6 months away, and then you start looking down and you reading through the reports and meetings that you've had, and you realize that turnaround's been 6 months away for 5 years. So again, we want to make sure that both internally and externally, we're staying aware of the timeline that we're dealing with. Cost basis is, of course, the amount we paid for our stake. And that's something I want us to be much more aware of going forward, again, both internally and in dealing with the F&J. I feel like it's, if you don't know how much you bought something for, its current value is, it's just, you know, it's just a number. So again, we want to center that, so we're always aware of how much value we need to get from there. And then, of course, current value. Current value will be determined by OneFire using all data we have available. I really want to stress that in certain investments, especially in a, you know, in a liquid vehicle, like say a private equity fund or a privately held company, it's an estimate, because you know a company that you own a share of or all of, in the end, it's going to be worth what you can sell it for, and you can estimate that by going off a multiple of its earnings or by comparing it to comparable firms. But in the end, please understand this will be developed to the best of our ability from internal data. But that current value may change from quarter to quarter, and we will keep you updated when it does. The next section is the performance or return. We want to make sure that when we discuss our investments that we're examining not just what sort of return we're getting, but what type of return we're dealing with. Is this an interest payment off of debt? Is this a dividend payment from equity that we own in the firm? Or is this, you know, something from something that's a little more complex? A return of capital, judgment, you know, a court judgment, royalty payments, a subscription agreement. Again, we'll make sure we break that out so there's no ambiguity. And next, we'll see there that in the 2017 dividend there, we're going to make sure we put up front and center what sort of distribution we're getting from our investments, if any. And if we're not getting a dividend off of an investment, believe me, that's going to be one of the first questions we ask is why and how do we get there. The notes section is going to be very important, because that is where we are going to communicate not only developments in the investment itself, but also the work that we're doing in that company to improve the situation or prepare it for, you know, next stage of investment or a sale. And then finally, the last quarterly update will tell you the last time we had a face-to-face meeting with the managers or representatives from the investment, so that you have an idea of how often we're in touch with them. I understand that I am looking over our investment portfolio. I noticed that if we weren't staying on top of a couple of companies, they were perfectly willing just to wait until we came and knocked on their door. And again, I want to make sure that no one at OneFire allows any sort of complacency to develop in terms of checking in on these companies we've invested in. So having walked you through the structure there, our first page here is a good example of a sort of real estate development partnership of the sort you might invest in to develop office buildings, retail space, even medical centers. And it's you know, a good example of what we would characterize as a strong investment. And that's why you see the green arrow there in the upper right-hand corner. It's just a really easy, unambiguous way to say, we're confident about this investment, we like the direction it's going, and we feel like the best thing we can do about this is to keep a good thing going. And on the next slide, you'll see another green arrow there. This is Education Tax Partners. which is sort of a stand-in for the tax credit investing that One Fire has done in the past. And again, just a good example of a healthy, productive tax credit investment of the sort that we might do in the future. Not standing in for anything specific, but again, just an example. Up next, I want to bring your attention to more to that yellow arrow pointing off to the right. That's a sign of a company where we see room for improvement. And just to let you know, given the sorts of investments that we made, companies that needed turnarounds, companies that needed operational improvement, we're going to see a lot more yellow arrows than anything else when we review these firms. Because they do need improvements, because we are actively working with them to improve their operations, and because it's still an open question, just what sort of impact that will have in the long term. And as an example there, you'll see in the notes section, it's talking about a change in management, a change in operational processes, and the expected result from that. And finally, we have on the last page here, you see the red arrow. A red arrow indicates a great concerns with the health of the investment. Either it's a firm that's in trouble, or it's a management team that we've lost faith in. But one way or another, we've changed our attitude from how can we improve this company to how can we best preserve our capital and exit from this investment to find something better. And so I've kind of presented a worst case scenario here, a firm that's headed to liquidation, and that we are anticipating a write down of.
Okay. Any questions on this? Probably, Gary, once you present next month, if we see what we have, we may have questions at a point in time. Right now it's kind of, you know, vague in terms of what we want, but it looks okay. But like I said, until we really see everything, we may say, oh yeah, we want this, we want that.
I didn't want there to be a shock with the new format. So,
okay.
And as you look it over, if any questions come up, or if you have any suggestions for details that you'd like to see, we can do that. Now on to the July meeting. Given just the volume of information that we will need to provide, we will need to present, and the length of discussion that we would like to have with the nation, just to show you sort of where we are in terms of the projects we're working on, where we are in terms of the management transition, and also points for improvement that I've uncovered that we want to task the next management team with. I would ask that rather than reviewing One Fire sort of at the end of the full BF&J agenda, that we set up a specific meeting for the review of One Fire with council and nation representatives. Say Tuesday 7/17 was the date that looked open from our calendar. I would just say that if we could block out, I'd say 2 hours for that, so everyone can come in fresh, not at the end of a legislative session, and really just come in ready to examine what we've got and go and work together. I think that would be very helpful.
Okay, I'll get with the committee. We'll talk about it and get back with you on the other.
Thank you.
Anything else for you? Okay. Thank you, Gary.
Have a great evening.
Thank you. We got a few announcements. Anything? Any announcements? Hearing none, hear motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Here, second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Pete, will you give us benediction, please? Thank you.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the day that you have provided us. We give special thanks for the guidance you provided us tonight. We ask safe travels during our festival for our people.